Everyone ready?
Yes.
Yep.
Hang on, let me take a sip first.
Okay.
This is like rappers preparing in the booth.
Why would you ask if we're ready when you're the one who's not even ready? Don't even ask if we're ready. Just start talking.
No, dude, because when you're on the track, you say that stuff on the track.
Yeah, you got to say something about a snare in your headphone, etc.
Exactly. We're actually in the joke right now, and you didn't know that. We've transcended. So what I'm trying to say is I had this thought and it's just been making me laugh for a while. Tell me what you guys think about it, okay?
Okay.
Does it seem to you that police belts do everything except hold up pants?
That's true. They're on the outside.
Oh, man. That's one of my like sweetest one-liners. Get it, Mike? Hold up pants. And you can get the visual of like that cartoon policeman whose pants are falling as he's running through the grocery store.
Now I don't actually know, because policemen's like tops match their bottoms. Are they just wearing a jumpsuit and the belt is just for show?
Like baseball?
Ooh.
Yeah.
A jumpsuit? No way. Wait. Hang on. Just so people know, I don't think baseball players wear a jumpsuit.
Well, I'm not convinced, to be honest, because those stirrups in a baseball uniform, those are pretty much completely aesthetic at this point. Yeah. Who's to say that belt isn't?
People wear stirrups still? Really?
I had to when I played baseball. I don't think that was just like my specific coach. I hope not.
So, Tevin, you said the thing about the cartoon.
That was like sneaky dark.
You said the thing about the cartoon pants falling down. Like, just think about it. You could be as nimble as you wanted, and you never have to worry about, like, the pants falling down or, like,
you know, the
hanging
one
upside down from a rafter to, like, get a criminal and, like, your shirt's, like, falling up so your nipples are exposed and, like.
That would never happen, yeah.
Yeah.
Police onesie.
Okay, well, dude, for real, I don't know how you created that as a police chase situation. I guess it can only happen in like a Martin Lawrence movie. But listen, I think I have found an actual good piece of evidence to support your potentially great finding.
Okay.
Guys, who are the only people in a grand population that we know in jumpsuits? Prisoners.
Yeah.
Prisoners.
Who dresses the prisoners?
The cops.
Policemen.
Yeah.
And if the only thing they know is jumpsuit life, maybe they've been wearing jumpsuits this whole time.
Huh.
Damn. That's a fucking solid connection.
I think we just had our first detective case solved. You're listening to Instead Of, a hypothetical podcast with Josh Harrison, Mike Bogart, and me, Tapanjani. Enjoy. Do we say enjoy? Enjoy.
Are you guys familiar with 23andMe?
Yep. I am. Yes.
Okay. Have either of you done it?
No way, man. Come on.
Haven't done it. I have a kit in my house right now that my brother has, but so if you want to know anything about
it. Nice.
Well, if they get his information, they basically get half of your information.
I know.
You
got to
stop him from doing that.
I know. I got to convince him.
What if you have a secret sibling out there somewhere who also did 23andMe, and then they're just able to figure you out for the most part?
Well, I guess I would want to know that. I would want to know about my secret brother or sister. Anyway,
yeah,
I've interrupted Josh 5 times.
So I was talking to my mom and she said that like she and my grandmother and my sister all did it.
Wow.
And
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do one too. So I had a kit and I knew that like you spit in a tube and then you sent it off. Okay.
Aren't you worried just at all?
About what?
Like,
this isn't like Jurassic Park. They're not going to be able to clone me because they have my spit. Like,
well, I'm not even going to go down that potential. What if they are? But that's a whole separate thing. But just like when people know like your bank account number and like your address and shit, they basically know you, but they know like number information connected to you. When they get your DNA, they know your like physical body. It's like the one thing that quite literally doesn't leave your person. Isn't that strange to you that like they know your like your most private information?
Is that my most private information?
What
though?
Could be more private than your body?
It's like, it's not my body though. Like you can't take somebody's DNA and be like, this is what they look like. Like you can be like, okay, they're this race or whatever, but.
Fair. Yeah. I mean, they can't like, but did you also send them a picture or set up a profile on their page?
No.
Okay.
No, no. So anyway, I have a friend, listener of the show, Kristen. Shout out to Kristen.
Shout out.
Hey, Kristen.
And she works in a crime lab and collects DNA. And she like, it's just a cheek swab. Like you just need to like take a little Q-tip and like scratch the inside of somebody's cheek and like now you got their DNA. Mm-hmm. So I figured, okay, just a little spit. You need to spit so much into this goddamn tube.
Really?
Yeah, it's like it probably took me like 2 minutes of trying to like muster the mucus to get into this tube.
Ugh.
And I know they don't need that much.
Okay, so many questions, but let's first up top just start with your friend has such a cool job. It's a TV job, it seems like. I can't even imagine the misadventures.
CSI.
She used to do blood pricks, and like she said that the most hardened of felons were the ones that cried about getting their little finger pricked.
Oh, man.
Wait, I shouldn't say aw, but like, there's probably some deep psychological issues there.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, Josh, man, like 2 seconds ago, you're telling me with 100% certainty they're not going to clone me or anything. I'm just giving them a little bit of spit. And now you're like, I spit for 2 full minutes. Why would they need that much spit from you is the question you're asking, but you know the answer.
That is so much spit.
Well, it's nefarious. It doesn't matter why.
So they can't clone
me. You know who runs that company? I'm pretty sure it's like the co-founder of Google's wife.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they know your searches and your internet life, and now they know generally who you are.
Oh, no.
You're either going to have like the most customized ads of all time and be living like somehow a perfect life because they took care of you, or things could go wrong. I don't know which is more likely with the human beings.
Here, have a need for these toenail clippers that are perfectly shaped for that pinky toe of yours that grows in super weird. Here you go.
They're preying on that pinky toe. You've been thinking about that pinky toe. Dude, you don't want that.
So that was going to be my instead of is like, obviously they're not just using this to like profile my DNA and tell me like, you know, what percent Scottish I am. Like they're going to, they got to be doing something
else. Did you get
else.
Answers back?
Not yet. No, I'm still waiting.
Damn.
I would like to know.
That
would
have been fun. Mike, okay. Let's...
We can do a follow-up when
yeah,
we get
I
that.
Mean, we can do a follow-up. I don't think this instead of is over just yet.
Me neither.
So, like, what could they be doing with it specifically? They're not cloning me. Like, we don't have the technology for that yet.
You think you ever had this technology? I'm sorry. I want to talk in, like, the most conspiracy theorist character ever, even though anyone can hear at some level, I totally believe this stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, okay. Maybe they're using it for comedy purposes. Maybe in that we can find something.
So are we saying what are they like tailoring to our to us?
What are they using this for? Okay. They have like
Wait, no, hang on. Let's just stay in the right realm. Why did they take Josh's spit? Let's go with something we know.
Why did they take Josh? Like 4 fluid ounces of Josh's spit?
Yeah, like what's going on? Maybe Josh doesn't realize that this isn't the process for other people. And they figured out this box was going to Josh Harrison's house. Hmm. Why do you think they needed all his spit?
That is a really hard question. Because that is so much spit. I've been trying to see how much I can gather. And I don't think I can. I don't think I could fill a tube in 2 minutes.
What do you mean you've been trying?
You know, in the background while you guys are talking.
You've been spitting this whole segment?
I've been gathering and swallowing.
Dude, don't do that.
Try it.
Well, so if you do that, then I think it's easier to recall it. Like if you're gathering more, you're getting some of what you just swallowed. Like this, your mouth gets so dry.
True.
Dude, you don't even know the plight of wrestlers. High school wrestlers used to just spit in jugs, jugfuls, to lose weight before they immediately fought somebody. Like, it was some hardcore shit.
Okay.
Wow.
So maybe,
in your case, I don't, go ahead. I don't think it's a wrestling parallel that they're trying to pull off.
Well, then never mind.
Wait, no. Okay. Let's chase it down. Because as you know, I love wrestling. But so I'm going to take it in the arena of non, like, collegiate wrestling, but
non-Greco-Roman,
like, carnival wrestling.
Carnival. Yeah. Carnival wrestling.
Greco-Roman Reigns. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, they may be taking an excessive amount of spit from you because you got the package where when you get your results, someone just comes to fight you about it.
What do you mean?
They're like, you know, they're anticipating you're not gonna like your results, right? So they know.
Wait, they have a preemptive customer service?
They gotta preemptively dehydrate you for the inevitable fist fight. They're going to get in with you when they tell you that you're, 8%. Estonian.
You think in the time it takes him to mail his spit to and like get his results back from, that the dehydration will still be impacting his fighting ability?
He's Estonian, man. He doesn't know what he's doing.
I'm not Estonian. Just like they get into it.
Yeah, I think they're just weakening you preemptively.
You know,
for a
what
fight.
Would be a great head game if like the 23andMe guy, well, first of all, his gimmick, like when they bring him out from the ramp, it has to say 23 and me, but the word and has to like rotate backwards 180 degrees into DNA.
Yep.
Like while he's coming out, just like, da 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 da. He comes out to fight Josh about whether or not he's Estonian. But the head game would be the entire time he's hydrating on the way down.
Oh, you know what the kicker would be is when I get my results. Like 30 seconds before there's that knock on the door, is the envelope that they send it to me in is specifically engineered to give me multiple paper cuts when I open it.
Oh, oh. God.
Oh,
that's messed up. What I was going to say is, do you guys want to come up with a wrestler whose gimmick is that he's 23 and me, the company? Because I really love this. Because the envelope could be one of his like pre-finishing moves. It's right before he delivers the news, right? So like the results should be the name of his finishing move. And now I'm trying to figure out what a scientist would do to end a match.
His first name is Gene.
Yep, that's perfect. Yep, I'm sorry. Last name? Splice-a-tory. That's the only word you guys know that has anything to do with genetics. Gene.
Well, splice-a-tory, but you got that one.
Okay, so all we have to do to end this segment is explain how the two moves. Well, first of all, do you guys know that in wrestling, like the stars have multiple like signature moves that they do?
Can you give me an example?
The Stone Cold Stunner.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. That's like his finishing move.
Got it.
But like that move he used to do when he'd like tackle people and then like give them the finger and talk trash right by their face. That was one of his signature moves. That's like a setup move to the other stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
Actually,
I got one
of sometimes
his moves.
He would follow with that too.
Okay. He grabs somebody by the ankles and spins them around and around and around, and that's called the centrifuge.
First of all, that's great, but dude, I don't know how to tell you this, already been done.
Called the centrifuge?
Not the centrifuge, it was something else, I can't remember. This dude by the name of Cesaro does it. Okay. He just spins people around, around, around.
How about the Recombinator?
Okay, what's that?
You take two guys and you smash their heads together.
See, Mike's getting it. Mike's getting it. I'm trying to think of something in... because we need like a final finishing move. You know? What happens at the... Okay, so I graduated with a biology degree. Let's just admit that up front. I'm just going to ask, what happens at the end of like the cell life cycle?
Death.
It dies.
But like how? Does it crumple?
I don't think it crumbles. I think it just gets
absorbed.
It
doesn't get like hit with a steel chair, does it? Like, How do cells die? Because that's what we can mimic as the finishing move for cell our death. Wrestler, 23andMe.
Yeah.
Hell in the cell.
Hell in the cell. First of all, that's excellent, but it's also a standing pay-per-view in which we will obviously participate. But we need to know, guys. Can anyone tell me how cells die? Let's just say he like sits on them.
I feel like he just squishes their bodies out.
Yeah, yeah, with like a big... Oh, you know what we'll do? I got it. The guy will be beaten up, middle of the ring. 23. What's our guy's name? Gene what?
Gene...
Steratore?
Splicitore.
Gene Splicitore will go up on the top turnbuckle, turn his back to the guy, do a backflip, and then like sit on him, and that'll be the end.
Yeah. I guess this person is just dead now. All their cells have died.
How did we start this story? Did we solve the initial problem?
I wanted to know what they were using my DNA for.
Yeah, this is it, dude. You come from wrestling. Thanks to my ignoring my friends trying to tell me the trip that I was signing up for, I ended up walking alongside my four friends from high school. What did we do? 100 miles in 5 days?
Yeah.
Jesus.
100 miles.
I'm so glad I didn't know. My physical therapist, I asked her before I could go on this trip, and she said yes. And when I went to see her again, I told her, hey, so this is what we did. And she goes, oh, I didn't say yes to that. Like, I said yes to like 20 miles.
Oof.
I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Mm, but yeah.
Yeah.
But it was really fun.
Yeah. Aren't you glad you did?
Yeah, it was fun. I'll tell you, I like the hiking parts. Camping is fine. I get it. And I understand why people also like it. But I'd be totally okay with like an Airbnb and then walking around during the day.
Yeah.
Do you want to like share with our listeners what you did?
Oh, yeah. Mike, tell them about the trip.
Okay. We took a 5-day trip, 3 nights in Vegas and 2 nights in Zion National Park of Utah.
It's so funny. We're not Vegas guys.
We're not Vegas guys, but we did Vegas. Pretty good.
We even brought button-down shirts to fit in with the other like population.
We did. We walked 100 miles.
We did.
I rode a mechanical bull.
You did. Yeah, I rode a mechanical bull.
I did.
I filmed it.
What else did we do? We climbed a mountain.
We did a bunch of stuff, man. We climbed a mountain.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's called Angel's Landing, and for one of the parts, they tell you that, hey, all we have here for you is, like, chains to hold on to, because the other side is cliffs, so, like, don't fall off. By the way, these chains do not continue for the entirety of the rest of this journey, but they are there, scattered throughout as you approach, like, the mountaintop.
Also,
it was wild, man.
Just before you get to the really scary part, there's a big sign that tells you how many people have died so far.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
How many people had died?
6, I think.
I think something like that. Yeah. Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah.
Is that, like, this year or all time?
I think all time, I think.
Okay.
It's gotta be. Yeah.
I feel like 6 is enough.
I mean, it's, yeah, that's more people.
But it was
than...
awesome. Like, it was, when you get up, it was like 95 degrees and wild, but like, oh, Mike, I can come up with an instead of for you.
Okay.
Okay, so Angel's Landing basically looks like this crazy, like, runway in between two mountain sides, right? Or like rock cliff sides. Imagine if we got up there instead of that. What do you think you would have been most surprised to see?
At the top of Angel's Landing.
Yeah.
So what was
Wait,
up
I've
there?
Changed my question.
Okay.
Who do you think you would have been most surprised to see?
I would have been... So what was up there was a bunch of kids... with like a Bluetooth speaker bumping club music.
Yep.
And yep. some dude who was just like Zion National Park embodied had been up there since 7 a.m. Didn't work there. Just hanging out. We were there at 3 or 4 p.m. Just taking pictures for people. Telling them about Angel's Landing. Just telling them
over
facts.
And over and over. He was just being a really nice person. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
But like it was like a recording almost.
I was pretty surprised to see him up there. I would have been really surprised to see.
Wait. We need Josh in on this too. Can you add a layer to this question?
Okay. So who would you be surprised to see?
Most surprised.
Most surprised to see. And what are they holding?
Okay. Okay. I have it.
Okay.
If I got to the top of Angel's Landing and like the angel Gabriel
was on top
okay. holding like the key to the kingdom of heaven.
Oh my God.
And he's like, Mike Bogart, you did it. You're God now.
What? Oh my God.
That would be pretty surprising.
Do you leave the mortal realm immediately?
Yeah, what happens?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, yes. Really? You don't go back to your apartment?
I guess I probably need to go through some trials or something.
I'm going to go grab my green card and passport just in case, for sure.
Yeah, can I bring my friends?
You're God.
God. I mean, after this, it's over, Mike. We can't really talk to you.
Yeah, I'm not God yet. For a while, I'm still just Mike.
No. Well, that's the entire question, right? Like,
Do I accept?
The key is at the top of Angel's Landing. You're here right now.
Mm.
You can come back. Conceivably, you are the chosen one. But then you'd have to do the hike again.
I'd have to go all the way back down, yeah. And then come back up.
With your stuff now.
The stuff I need to take to heaven.
Right?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Shit.
You have no guarantee what's on the other side.
That's true. You know what? I tell Angel Gabriel to stuff it.
Wow.
I don't want to be God.
You okay. don't want to be God.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe that. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't want to be God.
That's way more creative than what mine was. Mine was just going to be like, I get up there and Danny DeVito's holding a boombox playing Wu-Tang Clan.
That would be just as surprising to me. We were out in Utah in desert country. By our hypothesis, this used to be where we were camping, used to be like a sea.
Oh.
And you could see the ocean like lines in the rocks and stuff.
Cool.
So this place is known for all of the dinosaur fossils, it turns up.
Okay.
We didn't see any fossils. But it got me
thinking
about...
Mike, can I admit something to you?
Yeah.
I did not know that this entire time.
Oh, you didn't? Dude, there's tons of dinosaurs out there. We're living in dinosaur country.
I would have led with that.
Other than Utah?
I did not know that we were in fossil territory. Wow.
Yeah, dinosaur country. So, got me thinking about dinos. And we've not really covered a lot about dinosaurs on this show yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of a glaring hole in the canon.
I knew you would. Quite honestly, I was just waiting for you to bring it up.
I've just been waiting for the right dinosaur question, and I think I have it.
Let's hear it.
So, meteor hits Earth tomorrow. A meteor hits Earth tomorrow. Mm. We all get, for some reason, instantly fossilized.
Everyone on all of Earth?
Oh, you do. It happens to you. You get instantly
What do you mean it
fossilized.
Happens to me? Are you sure I didn't just like perish?
Both of us or just happen?
All three of us. Instant fossils.
Okay.
What do you want to be doing for a future archaeologist to discover your fossil? How do you want to be fossilized for posterity? What are they going to know about you? You're going to be in a future museum.
I know for sure. Pompeii is tomorrow. Can you tell me what time?
Let's say it's 10:30 a.m. on the
dot. Oh man, really?
Yep. You're awake, but you know, you haven't.
Well, of course I'm awake. I'm pretty much going to be partying the last hours of my life away, Mike. You think I'm going to take a quick nap?
What fossil do you want to leave for like a museum 60 million years in the future?
You know what I'll do? I will hold my hand below my waist, and I'll make that okay symbol. Got him.
You got him. Oh, you got him. That's good.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, you'd be getting us for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, millions of years.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this time to immortalize myself by lying. Okay, are we all on board?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't want to present the best me. I don't want to pose like that or anything. What I'm going to do is I'm going to spend from right now until 10:30 a.m. tomorrow the search for, like, just the most attractive people, just straight up. Try to find out where they concentrate, where they hang out, all that stuff.
Okay.
And then right as the pose comes, I'm going to hold up a sign that's pointing to, like, some real attractive lady next to me, and my finger will be pointing, and it'll say, "This was my wife." And then we will be frozen. And no one will be able to disprove it.
But it's only the three of us that are getting... fossilized.
No one else is getting fossilized?
Mike said just the three of us.
Well, I will
Well,
allow.
No, I don't want to take anyone down with me. Well, in that case, I guess I could say, I don't know who these two are.
Just for the record, I don't know them.
For the record. For the fossil record.
I was thinking, if the world ends tomorrow, my crime spree starts right now.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
I'm going to go to whatever the nearest, tallest mountain is that I can reach in one day. I'm going to drive there, and on the way, I'm going to steal as much gold and, like, shit as I can. I'm going to have as many cars in my tomb as possible. I'm basically going to entomb myself in stolen goods so that when future generations find me, they're like, this guy was the king of everything. He has all the gold stuff.
All the riches.
Mike, yeah. It's more like this guy managed to find the keys to his old Accord. He drove up to the top of this hill in Naperville, which is as high as he could get.
That sledding hill.
He seems to not have any possessions.
This guy just died in the back of a Honda Accord.
Well, the thing is that even if you're stealing gold, like if you're just trying to get all the random stuff you can get, it'll look more like a dragon's lair than like a king's castle, because it'll be like, here are these gold-plated grandfather clock arms. And...
No, yeah. What gold do you have access to,
that's
Mike?
True. I just have to steal it from real people.
You think you can rob anybody? Because no. I don't think you can do that. You're too pure of heart. Okay.
Man, I could go down as an all-time villain.
No, not an all-time villain. An all-time failed campaign. That's much worse.
I always said my tombstone would read, "Well, he tried."
I guess real quick, we can end this by saying what you want on your tombstone.
I already know yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
We all have express written permissions on your tombstone.
Permissions. You have to go get them.
Instructions.
But make sure it says, "I'll die before I surrender, Tim."
So that's a Simpsons gag, and it's a good one. But pretty early on in Tappan and my friendship, he said, "This is going to be a pretty weird thing." But if, we were talking about death, as we often do.
Yeah.
Sure. And
well, don't say it like that.
We were talking about,
I'm over death now.
And we were talking about, our wills and that kind of stuff. And you were like, "The only thing that I want in death, it's very important to me that you make this happen because my parents don't want it to happen. My dad says this is very dumb, is I want this Simpsons quote on my gravestone."
Wouldn't that be great to not only leave a gag when you die, but not even an original?
Just a quote.
God.
Here's what I want on mine. On my tombstone, it's going to say 1985 and then nothing. Like when you look up somebody who's alive on Wikipedia and it says their birth year and not their death year.
Well, see, I would just think you reserve the plot.
Yeah,
that's what I would think. I would think of it just the same way I treat a reserve sign at a restaurant.
But that, like,
because those are the restaurants I go to, people.
But in the year like 2230, somebody will be visiting this graveyard and it'll just say Josh Harrison, 1985 to
still ticking.
Well, no, I'll make sure to correct it.
Well, how do you know?
How do I know? I'll be the first to know. No, no, I'm not going to commit murder. Poor Mike. Now he's scared that I'm going to kill him too.
Yeah, I'm thinking about what I need to say on my tombstone for you not to kill me.
Make it good. Okay, wait, I'm coming off real evil in this. I don't want to sound like that. What if it had to be one of the last four things you've texted outgoing?
Okay, my last four. Mike, with like eight eyes.
Oh, that would,
that
be,
would be a good thing to leave on your tombstone.
We're resetting the internet. Sounds good, which was me confirming my plans for after the podcast. And I wish John Walgren a happy birthday. Shout out to John Walgren.
Hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, John Walgren. Does have a ring to it.
Mike, what do you put on your tombstone so we can put a tombstone on this segment?
So of those four, mine would be Mike.
I thought you already got one. We did yours. It was a whole story, remember?
Yeah. I thought you were saying, let's do it again.
No, no. Now what I'm doing is I'm saying, Mike.
You're stealing quotes again.
Oh, God damn it.
How about take a prayer, leave a prayer, interactive.
Take a prayer, leave a prayer, interactive is what you want me to write on your grave?
Well, no. Interactive is really a direct, like a stage direction to you. put a little bowl on it and a winking face because there's nothing really in there.
Dude, I have to check in?
Yeah.
No! Don't give me homework for the rest of my life now that you don't have to do anything.
You're not gonna pray at my grave for the rest of your life?
You expected this of me?
Well, if I die first? Yeah.
I'll go a couple of times on like choice days of memory, you know? Mm.
Yeah. Like our first podcast.
Sure, I'll go on that day if it's convenient for my schedule. My roommate Mike said, I think this was the quote, I once thought my car was stolen for like a week before I remembered I parked it at work.
Wait.
What have you totally forgotten about is the instead of? Mm. And what have you found later?
That I did find later.
Instead of a car.
It's hard to beat a car.
A whole car.
You guys have never forgotten your car?
No.
Not to the point where I thought it was stolen.
One of our listeners, I've never forgotten this story. Years ago, he told me his dad did this, and it's like my go-to example for forgetting things. He took the train home.
So when I was living in Boston, I had these really weird closets that were like, it had a normal door that you would have in a doorway with like a normal door handle to open into it. But
what
it was
an odd way to describe a door.
But it was like as wide as one of those like wide closets where you have the sliding doors. So it like opened in the middle and it was really a pain in the ass to get to things that were all the way on the left or the right side.
You had to walk around it?
No, because it wasn't deep either. You just had to like shove your arm in and hope that it was long enough to get what you wanted.
Jeez.
I moved to Boston in October 2015, and I thought I lost my wallet or it was stolen or something. Like the week that I started my new job, and I needed to ask for a new key card on like day five of work.
Ooh.
And I got a new license and I got a new everything. And then like a month and a half later, I was doing something in that closet and I found it on the ground all the way on the inside wall.
Wow. What'd you do?
I mean, I didn't do anything. I don't, like, what am I going to do? I I have no use for any of the stuff in it anymore. Like, the credit card was canceled. Ugh. The driver's license, ugh, I had a replacement. I had a new key card. Like, yeah.
Ugh. That sucks.
So you just resigned immediately?
I mean, I just, like, I kept the wallet.
You know what you could have done? You could have done, like, a pop-up shop where you only sold one fake ID.
Okay.
That has your real name on it.
That's my whole idea for what you can do if you re-find your wallet after you replace anything. Is there anything else? Well, you can relive your memories from the time that you saw The Phantom Menace,
yeah,
in theaters.
Yeah, yeah. All your old movie tickets.
I keep a slim wallet.
I do too.
What's in your wallet right now?
In my wallet right now.
You were sitting on your wallet right now?
Yeah, it's a thin wallet.
Holy hell.
Okay, wow. In my wallet is driver's license, credit card, movie pass card, because I can't not have that, and I hate that that's not, like, electronic.
There's
debit
no
card.
Oh man, there's no app for that? Wow.
There is, but, like, you need to have the physical card.
I used it yesterday. They made me take a picture of my movie ticket that I got.
Yeah, they're doing that now.
Orca card. So maybe that's what the wallet is these days. They have all my ticket stubs now.
Yeah.
They're just digitizing my... Thank you, MoviePass. If you have to occupy card space in my wallet, I understand. It's because you're not occupying movie stub space.
And then just my public transit and my key card for work, and that's it.
That's pretty damn efficient.
That's a lot of stuff.
That's not a lot of stuff. That's only,
yeah, that's low.
One, two, three, four, five, six things.
Do you have any money?
No, I don't keep cash.
Mm. Yeah, me neither.
Sure is easy to have a slim wallet without money. I'm pretty sure that's, like, a euphemism for that. Except usually a moth flies out when you open it.
That's true.
Oh. Do you think the problem with, I don't know if moths are an endangered species, but if they're hanging around empty wallets, are they just hanging around the wrong clientele? Like, if they go up the food chain of, like, yeah, rich people,
yeah,
maybe moths will become admired. Like their cousins, the butterflies.
Yeah.
Every moth-eaten thing is, like, shitty. They need better taste.
Butterflies are just rich moths, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
What is even called monarchy? Like, it's the monarch butterfly. Like, butterflies? Holy shit. Sorry, I did not mean to stumble upon this realization as we were talking about wallets. But you guys, I think that, like, there's some class warfare happening in the butterfly world.
Yeah. They are ostentatious.
Butterflies are up their own asses, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You don't like butterflies?
They gotta show it. They're all about themselves, you know? They are really ostentatious.
So what's the problem?
Who what are they trying to prove?
We respect people like that in human society.
We.
Every day you tell me you wish you could have a bigger chain.
I do have a really small chain. I do have an answer to this question.
Okay.
Do it.
Which is, well, it's kind of an answer. It's my best answer. The question was, what have we forgotten completely only to
find it again?
Yeah. And mine is my specific dream world. I have a consistent world that I have different storylines of dreams in, but I can't remember it.
Is this like a fantastical world, or is this?
Yeah, it is. It's okay. It feels very real while I'm dreaming, but it's crazy in there.
Crazy in there.
Yeah, it's like when I'm dreaming, I know that I have been within this world before, even if I'm in a different part of it. And then when I wake up, it's like something that's just always on the tip of my tongue that I can never put my finger on. But it's like that place.
Dude, you're like blowing my mind right now if you're living in some sort of like Narnia reality and this is how it's coming out to the world.
I have a challenge for you, Mike.
Okay.
I want you to name this world.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Why don't you just ask the people of that world?
Do you think next time I go, should I ask them? That's the thing,
though. They're going to be like, Mike, this is called the South Side.
It's not a coherent...
Everything's so different here.
It's not a coherent experience, like, when I'm awake. So I think I would name it... What if I name it Fracture?
Okay.
Just get on with the thing.
That was my answer. That was the whole thing. I forget this dream world every time I wake up. And then when I do get lucky enough to have a dream in it, when I'm dreaming, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been here.
That's fascinating. I've never revisited a place.
It's really an odd sensation. Yeah. I can just tell, like, this is the one that this other thing happened in.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's fun. I recommend it.
You recommend going to Fracture?
I would recommend coming up with a cooler name for your dream world. But I think I'm stuck with Fracture now.
So I was playing one of the Batman games this weekend. Have you ever noticed that Batman is one of the only superheroes that is like so into his bit that everything needs to be named after him? There's Batman, the Batcomputer, Batmobile, Batcave, Batarang, Batsignal, Batsuit, Batbomb, Batcuffs. The list goes on.
Wow. It,
like... Everything has to be Bat. So if instead...
Wait, man, come on. That's his gimmick. His gimmick is that everything has to be Bat. How are you going to hate on him for that?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, Batman, the suit is enough, okay? Why don't you just use guns like the rest of us?
So my instead of is that if you were a superhero like Batman, where you didn't actually have any supernatural powers, but you had like the wealth and power to make any gadgets you want that are like, you know, tech that the normal population won't see for 50 years or whatever, what would your name be and what would be some of your choice items?
Ooh.
Interesting.
This is a delicious question. What would we pretty much need to decide on a hero theme that's going to inform the rest of her sort of look and feel.
Right, of course.
Also, I'm just realizing how similar Iron Man is to Batman.
Extremely.
Why?
No natural superpowers, just rich and with gadgets.
Oh, okay, there. He doesn't name
any. Oh, you mean exactly the same. Yeah, got it.
Well, I thought you meant in terms of naming, because I don't think anything else is iron blank.
What's it called, the suit?
It's like the Mach 3 or whatever.
Oh,
like
it's based
on whatever.
He is a scientist after all.
Yeah, I guess somehow Iron Man is the less egotistical of the two. But he names everything Stark.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, that's the equivalent to Wayne. He's got Wayne Enterprises.
Oh, yeah. Batman doubles down on that.
Yeah. These two have a lot in common. Yeah.
They should meet.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
They should.
Hot air balloon trip.
Okay. I'm just drawing on my roots here. If I was going to be a hero, I would be like Forest Man.
Drawn on my roots.
In much the same way that Aquaman can like call on water creatures, I want to call on forest creatures, and I want to like shoot tree roots out of the ground at people and like build bridges
did
out of trees.
Did you miss the entire thing that I said?
You did. No, I'm still... True, okay.
This is a superpower.
Reset.
You can't tee up something Mike's been wanting to talk about for ages.
No, it's okay.
Look, clearly, Josh, we can go one of two ways. It's your call since it's your instead of. Your friend Mike is really excited about Forest
Man.
I'm
more than happy to go techie.
No, let's go Forest Man. Tell me more about Forest Man.
Okay, well.
Mike, can you just throw some high tech into Forest Man's life?
Yeah, Forest Man, what's some tree gadgets?
See, this is where it might fall apart.
Yeah, it's not working. It's kind of all about trees.
You got to branch out.
Yeah.
Nice. No, not nice.
Okay.
Mike, you can put tech into anything, man. Didn't you see Black Panther?
I haven't seen
it. They made their whole world.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen Black Panther.
It was covered with that thing.
Maybe you're secretly a racist, man. I'm kidding.
So my trees, they're electronic trees. They just look like trees. And they're gadgets. And I call on robot deer and whatnot. Holograms.
You don't have to change everything. Okay, go on.
So my gadgets, I would call, or like my moves. I'd have one called, I'd have the growth spurt. And then I would shoot roots out of the ground at someone and wrap, like, pop a tree out at them or whatever.
Holy hell.
The growth spurt.
Okay.
I would obviously be Forest Man.
Anything special about the suit, or is it just like a trip to REI?
Just my Patagonia. My Patagonia fleece. No, yeah. I think I'm just wearing a Patagonia fleece and maybe some tearaway North Face shorts.
You should be wearing one of those vests with all the pockets. That's where you can keep some gadgets.
A cargo vest, yeah.
Here's your slogan. This is what you like say to the bad guy right before you take him down by shooting a tree at him. Is you say, "My bark is worse than my bite."
That's good.
Dude, that's,
I like that.
That's very good.
You came up with that fast.
That's very good. My bark must be worse. It's got to be.
You know what would be great? That would be really good for like the villain dog in Dog Man. Like his bite isn't as powerful as Dog Man's, but his bark can, like, really manipulate people.
Like a sonic bomb or whatever.
Well, no, I mean, like, his political influence with his words.
He's just very persuasive.
His bark.
His oratory.
So what about you, Tevin? Who's your hero?
That's tough. You know, we have to end the segment quickly. So as Mike was talking about Forest Man, I thought maybe I could be Florist Man, learn a little bit about flowers, build up a high-tech flower business store. People could come in. My superpower would be like savings and discounts on your favorite bouquets.
Your shears and your bat shears.
When the time comes, I'm sure like I'll just turn to all like the evil flowers as like my weapons. You know, my like slow trap. That like will eat the bad guys.
Yes, the Venus flytrap. The giant
But it takes
one.
Like it takes like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I could put like little what are they called? Like those flower lamps to get confessions out of people.
A grow light.
I could have a move called the sprinkler where I just make it annoyingly rain on my villain for the entirety of their day.
Can you have any
flowers? The carpet would get so wet.
Can you have any flowers that like can pop open explosively and you could call it the kabloom?
Wow, man, you're full of good ideas. Yeah. I don't want to hurt anyone. And I especially don't want explosive flowers.
Okay.
Those aren't going to sell well. My clientele doesn't really like that. What they like are flowers that say, "Hey, good morning." It's like, "Oh, that's nice. And you look nice too." Yeah. But then at night, you know, I don't know any other evil flowers, but I'm sure I could turn them into weapons. How much fun did we just have on that episode, right? Your friends should hear about this too. Thanks for listening. Listen, you can share this episode on Spotify. They have links. They have links on the Apple Podcasts and the Android Podcast. What we really want is for you guys, if you enjoy the show, to leave us a review, or even if you don't, just tell us. We can take it and tell your friends about it. I think you'll enjoy it. You can find us at Instead of FM. Or instead of .fm for the website. And I think that's it. I think that's pretty much everywhere we are. We're not on the gram yet. I don't know what we would post. This is a podcast. Maybe just like little waveforms. But we can try that if you guys want, but you just have to tell us in the reviews because that's the place where we want to hear from you. Thanks. Bye. I'm probably going to say this wrong, but sometimes I just yell, "Edges!" like Christian Bale in The Prestige, if there's something that I'm like trying to find and it's frustrating. Have you guys ever seen that
movie?
What
does he say?
Yes.
He just yells he yells Hugh Jackman's name, and I'm pretty sure his name is Angiers, I think. I don't know. I've never been able to get that out of my head. I'm like, why is Hugh Jackman named Angiers in this movie? And so when I'm like in a hurry trying to get something, I'm just like, Angiers! And I'm like looking around the house for like my keys or like my luggage. Because at one point he's desperately trying to find him. I was going to ask you guys, what's your favorite memory from the movie The Prestige? Without spoiling it, of course.
I think I only saw it once.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Michael Caine's voice.
The twist
that's
part.
That's not unique about The Prestige. Don't say the twist part, Mike. That's the spoiler. Wow.
I don't remember you what guys, it is.
Just try my technique. Start yelling and jeers trying to think of your favorite part of The Prestige.
I guess when they the first
and cheers, Mike,
the first part.
And cheers.
And cheers. It's not working. And cheers?
I think that's his name. The other guy should have been called applause.
Applause and cheers.